We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
Hi, I'm Amy.
And I'm Jenny. And you're listening to Sonosphere
on WYXR.
Yeah.
are tuned into Sonosphere here on WYXR 91.7 and on the web at WYXR.org. Thanks so much for tuning in today. My name is Amy, and I'm here every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. And we have special guests in the studio today on this Monday. We have Matt from Easily McCain Studio. Thanks for being here.
Of course.
And Rachel's here with us, too. You can put your voice on the line.
Happy Monday.
So I'm so glad to have you on the studio today, Matt. And I want to kind of talk with you a little bit about what you do that's so special with Easily Studio and kind of how you got into this and kind of who you are. Just introduce yourself.
My name's Matt, Matt Qualls, and I'm a Long Life Memphian. I've been in bands majority of my life, and got the bug for recording when I was in a band that got signed to a label, and we spent a month in the studio, and I was like, hey, I could probably do this stuff. And a lot of other factors led to me kind of really digging my heels into it. And so probably since about 2019, it's been like a full-time endeavor. But before that, it was more of just like a hobby. And now I'm working out at Easily McCain Recording, the legendary space here in Memphis.
Right.
Known for so many awesome albums.
Yep.
Shout out to Doug and Davis.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of iconic albums come out of that studio, and a lot of local artists, too. And I had the pleasure of being able to visit the studio, second location, the other night, and showed me around. That was actually my first time to be in that location.
Cool.
So it was really cool for y'all to show me. And
of course.
The feeling there was, you know, you just kind of felt like at home a little bit.
You know, yeah.
Like you could relax and you could really get down to what you needed to do there.
Totally. So. Yeah. It's homey for sure. Like it feels like a thrift store that has a recording studio in the back or something. You know, it's all secondhand, but real funky and cool. Lots of cool lights.
Yeah.
We keep it real chill. You know, you can bring your alcoholic beverage into the studio.
Whoa.
No questions asked.
We don't do that here. Well, I just wanted to get a little bit more on sort of how you kind of approach the producing and how you approach your recording. I know a lot when we were in the studio, you talked a lot about how recording live is a really big thing for you. So I just kind of wanted to go in a little more to kind of how you approach it.
Yeah. I always thought it was really weird that a lot of bands would rehearse live, they would write live, they would perform live, but then you go in the studio and it gets deconstructed and everything gets done one at a time. Like you start with the drums and like a guitar or whatever the foundational element of the chords are and build from there. And I always felt like that never really got the feel 100%. And like while we, you know, I still use a lot of modern approaches, like we do use metronomes and stuff every now and again, but I still feel like that live element is so important because it informs everybody. Even if you're going to re-record it, I still like to record live for the most part because one, it gives me a sense of like, how is this song going to be put together? Like, what are all the parts of the picture here?
Right.
And how can I make it fit? And two, everybody just plays better because they're not imagining things.
Yeah.
They're not like thinking, oh, well, yeah, this is cool, but what's the bass part going to sound like? Or what's the keyboard? Or what's the, you know, it's a weird disconnected thing. So I really emphasize recording live. I feel like that's just the energy is there.
Yeah. And it kind of allows the musicians too, because this is their music. They've written it. They played it together somewhat, you know, you would think. And
totally.
So being able to kind of continue that like creative process and playing off each other during the recording, you can kind of allow things to evolve in real time.
Totally. And it's already intense enough to be like committing to recording and like spending money to come to the studio. It's like the last thing I want to do is like alienate the artist and make it feel like they're laboring for some, you know, extreme isolation or perfection or whatever. It's like, dude, that doesn't matter. Like,
yeah,
I saw you guys at the High Tone killing it. Do that here.
Exactly.
I'll just put microphones on you. And then it usually turns out really, really great.
And I think that's probably one of the reasons why people really want to work with you in a way, because
I would hope so.
You know, cool. You would hope so.
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, you have that, you know, just you've seen them. I've seen you. We're out. You're approachable in a way that and they know that they can trust you with their creative, you know, their work.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a musician first, so it's
right.
Like I care more about what the artist wants than anything. You know, like, if it's not awesome to you, then it's not going to be awesome to anybody.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
But I think you just touched on two of the reasons people are so happy when they get into the studio. I mean, first of all, they walk in and they're surprised that it's such a laid-back atmosphere, and immediately they go, oh, I kind of wish this were my home.
Yeah, so many people were like, can I pay rent to stay here?
Yeah, people have been like, can this be my music home, and can I just spend time here? And then you see the anxiety sort of melt away on that first take. They all get in there together, they play, they get into the music, and they see that Matt's really just there to help them be as much of themselves as possible. And they all, you can watch the body language, just the shoulders come down, yeah, and they get into the music, and then they don't want to leave.
Right.
Yeah. And big respect and shout out to Doug Easley for all his hard work on making that space such a comfortable, chill environment, and Sean Faust, the owner of the studio. You know, they both work really hard at making sure that place is very comfortable for everybody.
Absolutely. And let's, on that point, let's kind of get into a little bit of a historical, because Doug Easley Studio, I mean, it's a pretty like historic yeah, thing in Memphis here.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of really great recordings were there. I actually have a Silver Jews over here that I was going to play. So
cool.
Can you talk about some of your favorites coming out of Easley Studios and,
oh my
and
gosh,
maybe
yeah,
some that you've worked on too that kind of have a more popular national notoriety?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, White Blood Cells was recorded there.
Absolutely.
By the White Stripes, and that just like blows my mind when I think about it sometimes. And like the console that we use in the studio is the same console,
yeah,
that they recorded that album through. And it's just like, sometimes I just be sitting there and think about that, and it like gives me chills, you know. It's super cool. So I love that album. I do love Wowie Zowie and A Washing Machine, the Pavement album and Sonic mm-hmm. Youth record. Like, those are so sick. And like the John Spencer stuff that that Doug cut back in the day is so cool. I mean, and there's also so much cool local stuff that was recorded there, like
absolutely,
the Oblivions recorded there.
Yep.
Magic Kids recorded there. My good buddies in X-Cult recorded there. I'm trying to think who else locally in the past that Doug has worked with too, like Taff Falco too, like,
yes,
all that stuff is
Taff
so
Falco.
Cool. So it's like
Panther Birds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really think a lot of that stuff just hangs on the fact that Memphis has always been such a musical place.
Yeah.
And like, there's so much cool, awesome art being, you know, being performed here and being created. And I feel like Doug was just kind of at the center of a lot of that in his day. And same with Davis. And they just like were, it was everywhere.
Right.
And they were just trying to like have fun with their friends, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same approach I have too. It's just, yeah, like, come on in, man. We'll make something cool.
I feel like Memphis kind of has that history anyway. Like,
yeah,
we're kind of a DIY kind of music town in any way, you
oh,
know.
Absolutely.
And if you wanted to do business, sometimes you'd have to go somewhere else, which is cause bad, you
yeah
know. But I think a lot of the talent and a lot of the raw
yeah
talent and creativity and passion has always been here.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're different for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've worked in Nashville plenty of times, and it's always great. Like, I feel like I have to work less because people there are so like on point with their like approach. Like, I did a session in Nashville where the assistant for the studio was literally doing everything that I would be doing, and I had to be like, "Hey, man, like, you can go chill if you want." You know? He's like, "Really? Oh, yeah, okay, that'd be great, dude, because I got a bunch of stuff I got to fix back here." I was like, "Yeah, dude, it's going to be just fine, man. Come on.
Look, exactly.
You can leave, but thank you so much."
Yeah.
And here it's like, you know, we might like hang out for 30 minutes just chatting. Obviously, that's not going to, you're not going to get billed for that if that happens, but yeah, we're a little bit more chill.
Relational.
And slow. Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
We're hanging in there. Well, I want to, we'll play some music. So I will play a song that everybody knows off of the White Blood Cell album.
Cool.
I don't know. I had Hotel Yorba. Is there something better y'all want to?
That's a good one.
That's the one everybody knows. So we'll go ahead and play that one. And then we'll hear a few more songs that were recorded at the Easley McCain Studio. Because we are here with Matt, if you're just tuning in, with Matt from Easley McCain Studios here on Sonosphere today on this Monday. My name is Amy. Stay tuned to WYXR 91.7. We have Hotel Yorba by the White Stripes coming up next on WYXR.
Don't even leave. sound silly for me to think childish thoughts like these, but I'm so tired of acting tough and I'm gonna do what I please. Let's get married in a big cathedral by a priest, 'cause if I'm the man that you love the most, you can say I do at least. Well, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, take the elevator at the hotel you're by. I'll be glad to see you later. All I got inside is vacancy. And it's a 4, 5, 6, 7, grab your umbrella. But grab hold of me, 'cause I'm your baby fella. All I got inside is vacancy.
Well, you better sit down. We'll be right back.
sinister. Call me a groom, but I'm rattled by the rush. Rattled by the rush. Rattled by the rush. Rattled by the rush.
See it.
And you are tuned into Sonosphere here on WYXR 91.7. And maybe you are tuning in on the web at WYXR.org. Either way, thanks for joining us today. My name is Amy, and I'm here every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. So thanks for tuning in today. And as you know, WYXR is a nonprofit radio station. So if you would like to support the station, you can go to WYXR.org/donate, and you can be a member of the station too, so you can join the family here at WYXR. Any way you can support the station. Listening in is also great too, so thanks for joining me. I have special guests here today, Matt from the Easley McCain Studio, and Rachel as well, being here.
No sweat. Thanks for having us.
Great.
Thanks for letting us in.
Of course, of course. So we just heard Kurt Vile's Smoke Ring from a Halo. We also heard White Stripes earlier to start the set with Hotel Yorba. And in between there, we heard Pavement, Rattled by the Rush. And we also heard some John Spencer. And all of those folks have one thing in common, and that is that they've recorded at the Easley Studio. So,
that's right.
And Kurt Vile was actually just here recently. So tell me about his visit. I know you were part of that.
Right, yeah. Kurt's been about 2 weeks in the studio at Easley with us, and we cut a bunch of stuff on a new album that he's been working on. I know he's got some other material. He's just like constantly working, constantly writing, constantly recording. And he came in, I think it was October. Mm-hmm. yeah
they had the show here with an Optics,
right?
Opened.
Mm-hmm. Right, that was the first day. That was actually the night before recording.
Cool.
So that day, yeah, well, they landed in Memphis, got settled, played the gig, and then we were going to load in that night, like after the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But Doug talked them into doing it in the morning in the daylight. And so we just got up early the next day and loaded everything in and got sounds on that first day. And then it was like 9 days of recording after that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, just straight. You know, I think we pulled like 98 hours or something like that in that time frame, just tracking. Jeez. But it was awesome.
That makes my eyes hurt, like, because you have to stare at that.
Yeah. Yeah, luckily we took breaks, you know.
Yeah,
we were like taking breaks for food, taking breaks to chill, just chatting, talking, hanging.
Absolutely.
You know, but a lot of work, a lot of hard work was put in on that record.
Okay.
Kurt was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said, how did y'all get to know each other?
Friends? Yeah. Mutual friend, Cole Wheeler, who you know as well.
Yes. And a DJ programmer here on the station. So
that's
shout out to Cole.
That's right. Shout out to Cole. Kurt was playing a gig at Minglewood Hall in March. And he was at Goner Records. Mm-hmm. And I think Cole overheard them talking, like Kurt and whoever he was with. It might have been even Robbie, I think, who he was with.
Mm-hmm.
Overheard them talking about Easily recording. And he was like saying how he'd always wanted to record there but never had the opportunity. And I guess he called Doug at some point around like 2014 or so. And Doug, I think, maybe was too busy. I think he had something going on. He was working for Diddy a lot at that time frame. Diddy TV, not P. Diddy. Diddy TV, not P. Diddy. Let me clarify this.
Please clarify.
Working for Ditty TV.
Ditty TV, yeah. Gotcha.
DITTY. So anyway, he turned it down. And then Kurt was at Goner buying records. Cole overheard it, and he, you know, came to check out. And I think Kurt and him were talking about music, and Kurt asked him if he was in a band. He said, yeah, I'm in a band, and we just recorded it Easily. I overheard you talking about that. And Kurt was like, what? He was like, how? He's like, that's crazy. He's like, I called Doug years ago. He turned me down, you know? And so Cole was like, well, there's a new engineer over there. His name's Matt. We play in a band together, and we recorded all our stuff over there. And he's a good dude. You should hit him up. And so Kurt was like, can we go see it right now? And so, like, two or three hours before he had to be like on stage at Minglewood Hall, Cole, Kurt, and their drummer Kyle roll up to the studio, and I was there mixing alone anyway, so it was like the perfect situation to have him come by and see the spot. And he saw the studio and fell in love almost instantly, and was like, we chatted for about an hour and a half to 2 hours maybe, and then he was like, I got a split to play this gig. And I was like, yes you do, bro, like, go.
I'm gonna go there too, so.
Yeah, go and rock out. And then he basically, months go by and I don't hear anything, and he called me and he was like, hey, how, this is like in May, and he's like, hey, how's your October looking? And I was like, it's wide open, dude, like, come on in.
Nice.
And that's how we met. It was great, man. He was super awesome.
Yeah Well, that's so cool. And, you know, again, I think it's a testament to Memphis and it being sort of this recording mecca, like, people wanted to come here and record. And, you know, that goes for many studios here, including Easily. But, you know, so I think that's really cool. I mean, we were talking about DIY earlier. So, I there is this kind of tension between, like, wanting to kind of own your, you know, DIY sound. But that doesn't mean necessarily that it's not, like, very professionally done, that it is something that you can make money doing. And so I don't know if y'all wanted to touch on that sort of dichotomy there.
Totally.
I mean, I can just say, even in the last couple of weeks, I've talked to so many local artists who really want to make music a central part of their lives, maintain it as a central part of their lives, and they want to hang on to that DIY ethos and that spirit that they feel is so central to why they love music.
Mm-hmm.
But they also want to
make a living.
They also want to make a living. They also want to be able to make music a larger part of their lives and have it not drain their bank accounts in the process. And they want to be able to honor their craft, honor their city, but also push themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've watched a lot of artists come through the studio with Matt, and my personal opinion as someone who does not have a lick of musical talent in her body is that one of the things that's great about you, Matt, is because you've worked in so many different aspects of the music industry as an artist and as an engineer. I think you do a great job of translating that culture into the music that you help artists make.
Well, thank you. I try. Yeah. I just know what it's like to be completely, like, torn apart in the studio and, like, have that moment of, like, oh my God, why am I doing this in the middle of recording? I've had that experience personally, and that really pushed me to be someone that doesn't do that to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, nurture a space of honesty and creativity and authenticity. I think that's like the anchor of Memphis, really.
Yeah.
Like, so many people love Memphis for that reason. Kurt Vile included. Like,
yeah.
He loved all the records that Doug made because they're so real.
Yeah.
And they're also kind of like gnarly. Like, they're like recorded really hot.
Yeah.
And like, I also do that.
Yeah.
I just like stuff loud. So it's like, I want it to be like interesting to listen to on top of good and real.
Right.
Like, if your record is safe or boring or sounds like a redundancy of something else, I'm not really interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's true for the Memphis ethos.
Yeah.
Is authenticity takes the front seat.
I would agree with that, yeah, for sure. Just being in the studio for a short amount of time that I was and being able to watch you kind of do what you do, you definitely are able to have the ear that you need to kind of guide an artist, but at the same time making sure that what they're getting is exactly what is in their heads.
100%. Yeah, I want that the most. I want them to walk out of the studio thinking, wow, okay, that was amazing. Like, we did everything that I like wanted to do, and this sounds exactly how I thought it would. Because, like I said, I've had that experience.
Yeah.
And actually, I had that experience over and over and over again when I was first getting started, after I was in a band that got signed to a label, and we went and spent a month in the studio. And in that moment, in that month, there was a moment where we were moving on to record the guitars. And this is a pivotal moment for me, where the producer looked at two guitar players, me and the other guitar player, Darren Saucier, who, uh-huh, you know. He looked at us and he said, "Which one of you guys is the better guitar player?" And I was like, well, I just joined the band, so I guess him. And he's been in the band for years now at this point. He was like, "Great." I was like, "Well, why does that matter?" He was like, "Well, he's going to play everything on the recording." And so I spent a month in the studio and didn't play any guitar on this album. And so, like, I played maybe 5 minutes worth of guitar on songs that I helped write, too. There were two songs that we had, because I joined the band later on. And so about 8 of the songs were written with another person, and then I joined, and then we wrote 2 more. And, yeah, it was just horrible.
Yeah,
and then after that, going to other studios in town and, like, spending a lot of money. And, like, no disrespect to anybody. They were trying their best. But, like, it wasn't what I wanted, and it wasn't what I was hearing.
Yeah.
And maybe I just had too expensive taste or something, or maybe I got used to a certain standard that wasn't achievable. But I also probably wasn't working with the right people. And it took me a long time to understand that that's super important as well.
Yeah.
So
building those relationships and kind of vibing with somebody.
And knowing that person understands what they want and, like, what yeah, their record wants to sound like. That's a big thing for me, for sure, is, like, one of the first questions I ask when an artist comes to the studios. What are you listening to, and what are you inspired by? And how do you see your music fitting into this world, too?
Right.
Like, do you want it to feel like an old soul record? Do you want it to feel like a modern Nashville country record? Do you want it to feel like it was recorded in a garbage can? I'm down for all of them.
Yeah.
You know, but I need to know on the front end.
Yeah.
You know, how many microphones are we going to put on the drums? Is it going to be 4? Is it going to be 1? Is it going to be 19?
That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of friends and people in my life who are videographers. And so when somebody comes to them for video, it's almost the same. It's in the same way. Like, what do you see in your mind? How can I make that come out?
Absolutely.
You know? And it's sort of like, it's so abstract and obviously subjective and, you know, and so doing this auditory anyways.
Yeah. No, it's like having a reference, you know.
Yeah,
it's a huge thing, because
yeah,
what you perceive as purple I may perceive as yellow.
Yeah. Wow, that's a big contrast.
Yeah. It's the opposite. but yeah, I don't know, it's all about what the artist wants at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, I respect that the most.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you personally, you were at Young Avenue Sound too before this.
Correct.
And you were a musician and all of that. So what keeps you really excited about this work?
Oh man, just like chasing that thing, you know, with an artist, whether it's like writing the song or like getting the best take or finding the sound that they want or just doing something weird, you know, like
okay,
that's what I'm stoked about.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I wouldn't say it's the hardest job to do, but it's a hard job to do well. And like at some point the basic stuff is, you know, you're not even thinking about it anymore,
right?
And you just are searching for the weird special spark, you
mm-hmm,
know. And I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And I love creating music with people that are my friends too, and I love seeing them like achieve their goal in real time.
Absolutely.
And then being so stoked on it.
Yep.
And being stoked that we're doing it together. Like, I love that. That's a huge part of it. That keeps me going for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And also, I was going to ask one other thing. Oh, so anything exciting that you can talk about coming up at the studio?
Kurt's record at some point will be coming out. I know he's about to go on tour with the Pixies for a while. Let me think about what have I been working on recently that I'm really, really hyped on. I just cut an album with Dead Soldiers.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, like last weekend. Actually yesterday and the day before I had Lyric Brock in the studio cutting some songs. He's great.
Love it.
Just did some stuff with Jadewick, a new EP, and they're awesome. Love those guys. I'm trying to think who else would be. Avon Park is another artist. Izzy Robinson is another artist we just spent some time in the studio with. She's awesome. Man, there's so much. I just worked on an EP with this band, Speaker Girl, that's from here.
Oh, neat. Okay.
They're like younger guys, college guys. They rock. Dang, dude. There's so many. Like, I'd have to look at my hard drive to really be able to.
Well, it sounds like you're busy.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
It's very good. Yeah, I feel very fortunate. And sorry if I left anybody out.
Well, you can't list your entire thing. I mean, I'm sure you're excited about all of it.
That was just a trap that no. she set for you.
Yeah. How dare you? I had declined.
I'm under NDA.
Right. I mean, I could look at my hard drive. Let me just quickly do this to shout these folks out, dude.
Well, we'll have to come back. We're going to cut over to some music now. We're going to hear Silver Jews. This song is called Trains Across the Sea, also recorded at the Easley McCain Studios. So stick around to WIXR right here on Sonosphere 91.7.
Against me, like the sea into a pier.
Oh,
And you are tuned into Sonosphere right here on WYXR 91.7. And I have Matt Qualls from Easley McCain Studio here in the studio with me. If you're just tuning in, we've had a great conversation. And if you missed it, well, I'm sorry, but we do have archives. So you can go to WYXR.org to find the archive and download the episode, because it was a great conversation. Thanks so much, Matt and Rachel, for being here today.
Of course. Thank you.
And is there anything else you want the audience to know, to leave them with? Tell us more about how, you know, you create what you do in the station.
Oh, yeah.
Studio.
I mean, yeah, if you're out there looking to make music, get in the studio and record anything, just hit me up. I'm out there. I'm on Instagram. That's like the only place really you can find me. Or I have a website. Let's jump into thestudio.com. That's a great place to find me, and you can actually book studio time there.
Awesome.
But I like for people to reach out too and get in touch with me, and let's talk before we
Absolutely.
Move forward in the studio.
Cool. Come see the studio. Come see it for yourself.
Hit us up if you want to come see the spot. We're a hidden gem. You can't find us online, but we're out there in the real world.
You need the password. It's like easy.
Yeah.
No, Doug always says, if you find yourself here, you were meant to be there.
Nice.
So that's how we approach things.
All right. Well, we can leave it at that if y'all want.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Amy.
All right. No problem. And stay tuned here. We have great programming coming up next. We have Lola and a lot of great programming here on Mondays on WYXR. So stay tuned to 91.7.
So come little baby, never wanna let me go. Come little baby, tell me what I wanna know. No, no. Love when they play a song on the radio. Love when we're so close and when we're dancing slow. We met in Brooklyn. I know you evil. Did I ever tell you my people from Barbados?
Hey, I'm Jerome Chisholm, and you're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis.
This is the Daily Memphian Evening News Brief. I'm Natalie Van Gundy. Memphis Shelby County Schools Interim Superintendent Roderick Richmond denounced a proposed state takeover of the school district on Thursday. Laura Testino says Richmond said he would hate to see a Tennessee takeover.
Richmond said his resume shows he's worked with district and state leadership during previous state takeovers.